following video contains graphic content that may be disturbing to some viewers. Discretion is advised.
The United States will designate the group that calls itself Antifa as a terrorist organization.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. They call their policy accommodation, and they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Someone targeted this church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jonathan Shelley from Steadfast Baptist Church, and the point of this documentary is to illustrate that the LGBT are terrorists. These terrorists are using violent threat to try and take over America, to take over this city. Here in Dallas, Texas, we see their propaganda message being spread all in this area. They are perverts, and they will not stop until they have taken over all of America. And we as Christians need to get back to the root of the issue and understand that the Bible says we should not negotiate with these terrorists.
The narrative espoused by mainstream media outlets, the political establishment, multinational corporations, and the ruling class is that the Sodomites are a peaceful and loving community who've been victimized by Christians and conservatives. According to the Bible, the opposite is true. Romans 1 describes them as being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Every story in which they appear depicts the Sodomites as violent perverts obsessed with victimizing the innocent. They love no one. They have no conscience. They are domestic terrorists.
Now, Judges chapter 19 makes it abundantly clear that these people are very violent. It's not just that they're perverted. They're violent. Now, as they are making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. Notice, they're just having fun. The word merry just means fun. They're just having fun, minding their own business, in their own private house. And yet, sons of Belial, which would be another term for just children of the devil, come and they beset the house. That means they encircled the house. They encompassed the house all around. And then they're beating at the door, demanding to bring out this guy. Notice what the old man answers. Verse 23, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man has come in mine house, do not this folly. You know, if you read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible makes it clear if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman. The Bible tells us that they always go both ways. Notice in this story, they're initially wanting a man. Now, if you've read the story, and I'm sure many of you have, if not all of you, they don't get this guy. They don't get this man. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still part of the LGBT group, because notice they wanted it. And only those who are sodomites want this. The Bible tells us in verse 24, behold, here is my daughter maiden and his concubine. Them will I bring out now and humble you them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. Now, this is an inconceivable story. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But you know, when you're under threat of death and in these horrible situations, sometimes you make bad decisions. It says in verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. These guys have no mercy. And notice they were implacable. They were not willing to be appeased. There was no way to talk them down. There was no way to reason with them. They were unreasonable. As we keep reading in verse 26, then came the woman in the dawning of the day, fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was, till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. So they not only abused this woman, they killed her. They hurt her so badly and destroyed her so much that she literally lost her life in this one evening. But they go and they gather together, verse 12, and the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Notice there are men, women, and children that are willing to fight for the LGBT. They're willing to go to battle and fight to the death for their rights.
Many people have been deceived into fighting for the LGBT as a pseudo-civil rights issue and allow them to hijack racial division to disguise their motives. Movements such as Black Lives Matter promote homosexuality and transgenderism, which have nothing to do with race, but rather further the agenda of its founders, two of which openly identify as queer.
But the founders of the BLM movement, two of them are open sodomites. And you read their doctrinal, they have like a doctrinal statement on their website. I don't know if they've hidden it by now, but they're promoting transgenderism, queerness. They're promoting this LGBT filth because they don't even care about black people. It has nothing to do with black people. It has everything to do with just promoting wickedness, filth, and destroying businesses. In fact, in 2020, during the BLM protest, it was estimated that there was over $2 billion in property damage in America.
In 2020, riots erupted across the country under the label of BLM, while in reality, many agitators were LGBT radicals looking for an opportunity to destroy. In fact, groups like BLM and Antifa are disproportionately LGBT, as evidenced by their mugshots. These domestic terrorists wish to destroy businesses, block roadways, and attack police to strike fear in the hearts of Americans. They're extremely violent to everyone they come in contact with. Even in their own relationships, they're documented to be physically abusive to those who they claim to love.
I saw a BBC article that says of the LGBT, when they're in a relationship, their relationships have much higher levels of domestic violence. So they're admitting, hey, when we're in these relationships, they're beating each other up and hurting each other way more regularly. There was a company, the Family Research Institute, and they said from domestic disputes, whenever there is a man hurting his wife or girlfriend, the prevalence is 0.24%. There's also apparently women beating up their husbands and boyfriends, okay? This was 0.04%, okay? So hopefully we can get that down to zero pretty soon, okay? If you're not there, you need to work out, men, okay? But again, in these like sodomite relationships, when it's two dudes, They beat each other up 4.6% of the time. So it's just like exponentially way higher than a normal relationship. And in the lesbian category, it's 5.8%. So they're really doing some MMA, you know, in their relationships. And that's, of course, the ones that are being reported.
According to the Family Research Institute, male homosexuals are 19 times more violent in domestic disputes than straight men. Additionally, lesbians are 165 times more violent than straight women, proving that the LGBT are exponentially more violent than normal people.
Fact, the LGBT are more violent. They're not loving. Oh, love wins. Oh, it's I'm being discriminated based on who I love. No, who you're beating up. No, who you're abusing. Okay, that's the facts, that's the reality. Not only this, you look at other websites. I saw one where it was talking about the top six serial killers. Some of the biggest serial killers that have ever existed are all sodomites.
The following is a list of some of the most prolific sodomite serial killers, proving once again that LGBT terrorists are extremely violent. John Wayne Gacy killed 33 men and was involved in sodomite activity. Juan Corona slaughtered 25 men, and the murders were obviously committed by a sodomite. In fact, Corona's defense attorney tried to argue that his client wasn't a homosexual to try and win the case. Other sodomite serial killers include Fritz Harman, who murdered 24 men, Patrick Kearney, who slaughtered 21 men, Jeffrey Dahmer, who killed 17 men.
He described how he picked up his victims in gay bars and brought them home.
I'd have the sleeping pill mixture already prepared. Person would drink it, fall asleep, and that's when they would be strangled.
And he made a startling admission about the evil urges that propelled him to kill.
Do you still feel those same urges? Do you still feel that compulsion, that obsession?
I wish I could say that it just left completely, but no, there are times when I still do have the old compulsions.
Another guy, Dennis Nilsen, 15 men. And then it just keeps going down the list. There was another guy, Dean Coral. He had 28 boys that he slaughtered. Carol Pazran, 21 men. And he claimed that he forced over 1,000 people in his lifetime. 1,000 people that this guy took. Why is it that all of the top serial killers, the most bloody people that we have in our society, are all LGBT? Why is it? It's because it's a spiritual issue. This isn't just like, oh, I was just born this way. No, no one's born that way. These people are wicked, evil, they hate God, and of course they go around just killing innocent people. Many of the recent shootings, the Colorado Springs shooting, the shooter identified as non-binary. The Denver shooter, trans. The Aberdeen killer, trans. The Philadelphia shooter, trans. The Nashville, Tennessee shooter, trans. Why is it that they're all trans? Why is it that they're all the LGBT? And then you have, of course, the media pulling cover for them.
On an episode of The View from March 2023, actress and far-left political activist Jane Fonda openly called for the murder of those who hold a pro-life position. Fonda is famous for being a sodomite advocate, and she has been for decades.
We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking. Yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's
very,
the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. But we're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous.
What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that. That's
you don't know. They'll pick up on that and
just
run with
it. Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
Well, let me talk to you about.
Celebrities are going on national television just telling murder people and then no consequences, is it?
Reach it.
You have people like Cenk Uygur from TYT, which is a kind of a popular podcasting news show on YouTube. This guy is saying trans should get guns.
And I always tell people, don't get guns. It'll make you less safe. I'm going to make an exception here for trans people. They are actually in danger. They have had hundreds of laws passed against them. They have right-wing media ginning up fear against them 24/7. They are targeted more than any other group in America. And if anyone should get guns, it should be trans Americans.
It's just horrible. But this, like, tranny went in Tennessee into a school and just started shooting and killing innocent little children. I mean, how could you feel? You send little Susie off to school with their lunchbox, and then a trainee comes in and shoots and kills it. For no reason. They don't even know each other. Just completely random. I mean, how much evil do you have to have in your heart to just kill children indiscriminately? To just murder them like it's a video game or something. I mean, that is how disgusting and filthy these people are. Of course, the White House and President Biden, they don't get up and condemn such actions and talk about all evil. They say, oh, our LGBT children are still being marginalized.
I want to send a message to the entire community, especially to transgender children. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. And you belong.
Why? Because they want more of these people to go into schools and shoot more children. That's what they really want. It's an evil, wicked agenda. I've been in city council meetings where these LGBT people get up and they threaten the city council members to their face with no consequences. They're just sitting here saying, you better give us our Pride Month or else.
Pride Month is a time for us to finally be who we simply are and go a step further and celebrate the fact that we can make it this far and continue to keep going. Stand with us or you will hear us. All right? Our communities are here and finally able to be outwardly queer, and we aren't going anywhere. Next time, I won't be asking.
Next time, I won't be asking. Next time, I won't be asking.
And again, Mr. Ross, the day I respect the sad incel losers who call my people pedophiles, predators, abominations, and want me gone is the day I am dead and 6 feet under. Thank you.
We know where you are. We're not going to be silent. We're not going to stand. I mean, they're just sitting here openly threatening city officials. And then, of course, they just fly their flag for them. Why? Because they know that they're serious and that they will commit acts of violence against them. Think about one of our friends, Pastor Roger Menes from Verity Baptist Church, when he went viral for some of his preaching.
Pride flags and posters fill the parking lot of Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento as protesters tried to get the attention of Pastor Roger Jimenez, who praised the Orlando mass shooting during Sunday's sermon. It was recorded and uploaded to YouTube.
Are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great.
Jimenez briefly came outside but turned back around as protesters continued to shout.
We are one pulse.
It's one thing to personally say they don't believe in homosexual, but when they advocate the killing of people, it's just wrong. It's a crime.
Parishioners showed up with smiles as they were escorted inside to learn about the Bible.
What happens? Hundreds and hundreds of these freaks came and are just screaming and yelling and attacking his church, trying to cause people to not be able to go to his church, threatening all kinds of violence against him and his family and his church members. In fact, in some cases, they literally did get in physical altercations at the church as a result of these protests. Why? Because they want to be violent. And if it wasn't for the cops there, It would have been a Judges 19 story.
See, as Christians, we should not be taking a sympathetic approach to these types of news and saying this was a tragedy. This is something that we're sad about. We should be mourning these people. Because the Bible teaches that they are all predators. That's all the Bible says about them. They're wicked, they're vile, they're predators. And God says that they deserve the death penalty for what they do. That's what God says. Now look, and I'll talk about it here in a second. I'm not saying that we should be doing that. But in God's government, where God set up the laws and God set up the rules and God set up the people in charge, God said, when you find a sodomite, put them to death. He put the death penalty. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God puts the death penalty on the sin of sodomy. And God puts the death penalty on a lot of things. But this unnaturalness is one of them. And let me say this. Not only, number one, as Christians, should we not be mourning the death of these 50 vile, perverted predators that died today. But number two, let me say this. As Christians, we shouldn't be advocating the killing of sodomites. I'm not standing up here tonight and saying, let's go get some guns and let's go get them. Okay, that's not what I'm saying at all. And people sometimes will hear, you know, someone like me preach or someone like other pastors like me and say, you guys are advocating violence. We're not advocating violence. We're not saying we should go do this, but we're just saying this. If we lived in a righteous nation with a righteous government, then the government should be taking them. There's no tragedy. I wish the government would round them all up, put them up against a firing wall, put a firing squad in front of them, and blow their brains out. If we lived in a righteous government that loved God and loved children and wanted to protect them, that's what we do.
Also, another one of our friends, Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Works Baptist Church, he had horrible protests. They were very close to his building because in California, there's no parking anywhere. And essentially, you know, you're just basically just right there up against the door. They're screaming. They're having drag contests and they're just playing music as loud as possible, trying to get into physical altercations with the church members. But then eventually they just blew up his building. I don't know if you understand that. This is violence. Bombing buildings is violence, folks.
A controversial church in El Monte is now the center of an FBI investigation after a homemade bomb damaged the building. Several people have been protesting the church because of its pastor and his anti-LGBTQ views. The explosion happened yesterday morning at the First Works Baptist Church on Tyler Avenue. Nobody was hurt, but the building was damaged and also vandalized. L.A. County Supervisor Hilda Solis said her office was working with the city and the county's Human Rights Commission to try and de-escalate the situation. El Monte Mayor Jessica Ancona called the incident highly concerning and said she was asking for a full and thorough investigation. Now, there is an online petition asking El Monte's mayor to remove the church from the city. It's gathered more than 15,000 signatures. The Southern Poverty Law Center also lists First Works Baptist as one of 88 hate groups in the state. We have reached out to the church for comment, and we're waiting to hear back.
When's the last time a fundamental Baptist went and bombed some homo bar?
FBI investigating explosion, graffiti at church known for anti-LGBT views. Oh, so that gives you the notion, oh, it's a hate group. Good, I'm glad they got blown up. No. We still put our hand on the Bible when we put an oath to the Constitution. The Bible is anti-LGBTQIA 149 or PS 690, whatever.
But it wasn't until a couple weeks ago where they started making a considerable effort to protest and to protest our church, to protest me, to expose me for the things that I believe. And then it began to ramp up. And of course, climaxing to Saturday when my church building was bombed.
But you know, notice they're constantly harassing and attacking God's people and all kinds of other institutions. They're the violent ones. They're the real terrorists.
Pastor Bruce Mejia has certainly been a target of the LGBT terrorists, and his sending pastor has been as well. Pastor Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, has been targeted by the media and LGBT terrorists for years. Their attacks have ranged from harassment to death threats. But it hasn't ended there. He's also been swatted.
A controversial Phoenix pastor says that he's the victim of swatting. That is when someone calls the police about a major crime at a house or a business, but the whole thing is fake.
It's meant to terrify victims with an overwhelming police presence descending on their home. Phoenix police were called to Pastor Stephen Anderson's home after a 911 call reporting multiple bodies. Pastor Anderson leads the Faithful Word Baptist Church, which is an ultra-conservative church that's made controversial headlines more than a few times.
Team 12's William Pitts explains how this prank could have ended deadly.
Let's get this out of the way. You probably don't agree with Stephen Anderson. You might not even like him. But this was not a prank. Regardless of what he may say or preach, this could have ended with his family being shot by police.
The kids were pointing at a helicopter up in the sky. They were talking about a helicopter. They're saying, come out with your hands up. And of course, my wife couldn't have fathomed that they could be talking to her and our kids.
But they were. Phoenix police said they got a call of a possible shooting at the Anderson's home in Ahwatukee on Sunday.
There's knocking and knocking at my door. Finally, I hear a voice that says, Steve, this is the police, the Phoenix police. I thought it was my son joking.
There was no shooting. Anderson believes he was swatted.
Over the years, I've gotten all kinds of voicemails, threatening letters in the mail, white powder spilling out of envelopes, you know, phone calls, emails, text messages, threatening to kill me, threatening to kill my family or to abuse us all in various ways. I've had literal human feces mailed to me, gay porn in the mail, just all kinds of confetti bombs that with obscenities and, you know, just all kinds of just hate and vitriol coming at me for this preaching that I've done about the homos, which is just straight out of the Bible.
They don't really add anything to society. They're just a terrorist in plain sight. And it gets to a point where the city is just destroyed. Like Genesis chapter 19, a story about a town called Sodom, this city is just disgusting. It's worthless. It's gotten to a point where they've terrorized and sodomized every single person. And what I think is interesting about the story is the fact that they had access to every single person in the town, and they had sodomized every single person in the town, and it still wasn't enough. Why? Because they will never stop. A terrorist will never stop terrorizing. As long as he has another victim, he'll just move on to the next one and to the next one.
A common theme shared between the stories mentioning sodomites in the Bible is that they're bent on terrorizing people. For example, in Genesis 19, LGBT terrorists in Sodom attempted to violate angels who looked like men and were sent to rescue Lot from the city's impending destruction. Like in Judges 19, they surrounded the house and attacked.
Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse number 4. The Bible says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So similar story to Judges 19. Two angels come in. They're disguised as men. They look as men. And they come into the town. They're invited in by Lot. But as they're just having dinner, having fun, same story. Sons of Belial come out of nowhere, encompass the house, the whole city. And notice this, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, every single person has gathered themselves. And in verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto them, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Same language, same action, same idea. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Notice again, the same elements, the same events, and it's every single person, and they just want to destroy that which is innocent, victimize more people. Notice this, though, as we keep reading in this, verse 7. And I said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They didn't want to only sodomize the two angels. They also wanted to do it to Lot. Do you notice that? And notice they pressed sore on the man. That means they're attacking and assaulting Lot. They're protesting him, and they're grabbing him, and they're trying to assault him right then and there. And they're breaking on the, they're binging on the door, they're running into the door. Now the angels have to grab Lot and drag him back into safety. Otherwise, he would have been destroyed here. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. The angels have to blind these men or they'll be successful. There's too many of them. They're so outnumbered. It's so extreme. And notice they're not willing to stop. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And the angel said, don't look back. Just have nothing to do with these people. They're gross. They have no pity. But his wife just couldn't contain herself. She just had to look back. And then she was immediately destroyed. Now, what's interesting about that is the Lord himself, God in flesh, while on his earthly ministry, he looked at the disciples and the people he's ministering to, and he had the famous quote, remember Lot's wife! Jesus literally said that. And you know what his attitude was? No pity. Why? Remember Lot's wife? Have no pity, no sympathy, don't even look at these people, have nothing to do with them. That was Jesus Christ's attitude while he was here, dying for our sins, and giving his life a ransom and ministering unto other people. They'll say, oh, Jesus was ministering unto faggots. No, he wasn't. Remember Lot's wife? Remember Lot's wife? As I remember,
Jesus is sanctioning that story by quoting it and saying, remember Lot's wife. So he's saying, remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah.
These people are disgusting. Why would you think that the God of the universe is going to hang out with perverts? And not only do they commit violence, they're perverts.
Articles published by the media highlight what the Bible has already proven, that the Sodomites are perverts. The following are some examples. A 5-year-old girl was assaulted by a transgender boy at a Decatur, Georgia school. A Sodomite couple has been charged with molesting their adopted sons, a morbid reminder of what happens when faggots have unfettered access to children. Female sodomites killed 6 of their adopted children, who they were abusing, after driving off a cliff in an apparent murder-suicide.
It's now been a year since an entire family plunged over a California cliffside, killing 2 women and their 6 adopted children. Now investigators say it was intentional. Investigators say the driver, Jennifer Hart, had an alcohol level above the legal limit. Her partner, Sarah, as well as many of the children, had, quote, unusually high levels of Benadryl in their systems.
The Sound of Freedom, a new movie starring Jim Caviezel, is based on the real-life story of Tim Ballard, who left the Department of Homeland Security in 2013 to found Operation Underground Railroad, which is aimed at working with local police to catch child traffickers. The film exposes the darkness of child trafficking and highlights Ballard's journey to save Colombian children from the vile predators they've been sold to. In response, sodomite advocates in the media have subsequently smeared the film and its producers in an effort to brand it as a discredited QAnon conspiracy theory and minimize the horror of child trafficking.
This movie zeroes in on the multi-billion dollar human trafficking industry and honors a hero, someone who saved children from sex slavery. But to the media, this person isn't a hero. Someone who rescues kids from pedophiles is a villain.
These films are created out of moral panics. They're created out of bogus statistics. They're created out of fear. And with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites.
For some reason, the entire media is smearing this movie as a dangerous conspiracy theory. The press is saying that the star, Jim Caviezel, is a QAnon guy. Tim Ballard joins me now. So, Tim, why is the media hating this movie?
You know, I can't understand it. The film was made, produced, written like 5 years, 6 years ago, way before anyone heard the name QAnon. I still don't even know what QAnon is. In the meantime, they're trying to connect it to some conspiracy when, in fact, like you said, this is a true story. These are real kids. I mean, these kids are my friends. They're young adults now, the ones that were rescued. They're going to come out soon and tell their story. It's going to be very awkward when the mainstream media comes after these kids next. And, you know, what I think's happening, Jesse, I think that the left and these media outlets, they don't want to have a discussion that this film is going to compel. A discussion about why 85,000 children showed up unaccompanied at the border and got released into the interior of a country that is the highest consuming country for child exploitation material on the planet. They don't want to talk about why these same publications are pushing an agenda to change the word pedophile to minor attracted persons in order to normalize sexual activity with children. I think that's what they're trying to avoid, and they know this film's gonna shine a light on all of the things, all the atrocities happening to children, and so they have to discredit it by lying about it.
You know why? Is they're terrified of our culture waking up and realizing that these LGBT people are pedophiles. And let me tell you something, every single one of them is a pedophile. All of them. Now, there's a difference between a pedophile and a child molester. One is already been caught in the action. That's the only difference. They have the same desire. And look, every single one of these people, whether or not they've committed an act of molestation yet, they would have given the opportunity. If they get the opportunity, if they're alone with children, if they have enough time, they will hurt children.
Statistics from the American Family Association found that 33% of all child molestations were perpetrated by sodomites. Additionally, the AFA interviewed 229 convicted child molesters, and 86% of those surveyed admitted to being sodomites, constituting an enormous overrepresentation. A study published in 1987 found in the Journal of Interpersonal Violence uncovered staggering information about the propensity of the sodomites to hurt children. The self-reported crimes of non-incarcerated paraphiliacs concluded that when a child offender attacked females, the offender did so 23 times on average. Pedophiles going after males committed assault an average of 281 times. The study found that sodomites assaulted an average of 19 female victims, and when their victim is a male, the study concluded that they had an average of 150 victims.
They'll say, well, the LGBT, they're not perverts, they're born that way. False. There's been so many twin studies that have already been done, already come out, and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is no gay gene, folks.
Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they're disgusting. What sort of people are they? How can you go... I never knew what they were doing. That's how I've been told recently that what they do is terrible, disgusting. But I was ready to ignore that if there was proof that that's how he's born, abnormal. But now the proof is not there.
There's an article by a study that was done from Australia and the United States, Dr. Neil Whitehead, and he says this, quote, "At best, genetics is a minor factor.
No statistically significant gene has been found, and they even looked at the whole human genome."
When they have these identical twin studies, it would have to be 100%. That's why his quote is also saying, because they have identical DNA, it ought to be 100%. Meaning, if you both have the same hair genes, you should both have the same hair color. If you have the same genes, your skin color is going to be the same. And if you've ever seen identical twins, there's something really interesting about them. They look the same!
In that diagram, it shows that there's only about 10 to 14% chance that that second twin is gay. Hmm. Now, if they've got the same genes, but look at that huge difference.
If an identical twin is a sodomite or an LGBT, then about 11 or 14% of the time, the sibling is. Which proves one thing. It's environmental. Because it's not the same rate. It's not 3 or 4%. Meaning that
it was related. But since it's not 100, it has nothing to do with genes. It has everything to do with their parents and their environment and the church that they went to. And if they were abused by some uncle or whatever was going on, that's the contributing factors. That's what's really happening and causing a higher prevalence in that particular situation. But it is not something anyone is born with. The Bible proves, the Bible tells us that this is not the case. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change. Maybe you should just highlight, circle, underline this word. Change. Change the natural use into that which is against nature. Notice, she wasn't born this way, she changed. Notice, something changed. It didn't start out changed. Notice the next verse, verse 27. And likewise, meaning in the same way that women changed, men are changing. It says also the men leaving the natural use. Notice it doesn't say here that they were born that way. It says that they left the natural way. The women changed and the men left. But let me tell you something. They weren't born that way. And of course, the Bible makes it clear this is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting.
The Bible says in Jude, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Christians are called to contend for the faith, to fend off those who would creep in unawares. It's clear from Scripture and their own rhetoric that sodomites want to murder and destroy anyone who opposes them. They are waging war against innocent children, God's people, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is a spiritual warfare, one that requires Christians to be armed with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and use it to cut through the deception and expose the truth. In doing so, the LGBT terrorists will respond without mercy. They already have, because nothing upsets them more than Christian churches that refuse to back down and compromise.
You know, the people that we're fighting against primarily are false prophets and false teachers. But let me tell you something, there's a direct connection to false teachers and LGBT. They're usually the same people in a lot of cases. Yep. That's why you see in the Catholic Church it being filled with pedophiles, filled with child molesters. There's whole websites dedicated to all the different Catholic priests caught being a pedophile in the entire United States and all over the world. And that's why they're likened to them in this chapter, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So according to the Bible, those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah died and went to hell. You say, which ones? All of them. It was an example. And it's an example of how everybody that's just like them in the future also is going to die and go to hell. Not because of their sin, but because they hate God and they never want to believe on Jesus. And it's a spiritual issue. They hate the gospel. They hate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they assault the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result, God punishes them with homosexuality. Homosexuality is a punishment for someone that is reprobate and never wants to believe in Jesus. But, you know, our church has been assaulted and attacked. And I just want to give you just some highlights of some things that happened to us. But, you know, when I took over the church, we were in Sanson Park. And just by preaching the Bible and being friends with other preachers that preach the Word of God, we ended up having a lot of protesters. And we had like dozens and dozens of protesters coming, harassing us, attacking us.
You were judging.
But why in the world would we be dressing like queers and wearing
I'm
these
not,
flags?
I'm not dressing like queers, man.
Weren't you wearing a dress?
No, I was wearing a f***ing kilt.
And it causes all kinds of articles to go out. And then they get all kinds of businesses to shut down associations with us. We get banned from all kinds of things. PayPal, Bank of America, Tidally, online processing, all kinds of online processors, banks. They try to get anybody and everyone to shut you down, attack you. I called one online processor, and I'm trying to ask them just questions like, can I speak to your legal department? And they're just like, we have no information. The judgment is final. I have nothing else to say.
All right. On this account, we have no further information on your cancellation other than that provided in the notification you received. The decision is final, and we will not be able to field additional inquiries on this topic.
I called, and that's what they told me before, and that's fine. Basically, we just had a group of Satanists petition y'all, and y'all shut down our entire account. How do I just find out what happened so I can either resolve that issue or why they decided to put me on this blacklist?
All right. Again, we have no further information on your cancellation other than that was provided in the notification you received. The decision is final, and we will not be able to field additional inquiries on this topic.
So there's no way I can just contact someone from your legal department for any reason?
Again, we have no further information on your cancellation other than that was provided in your notification you received. The decision is final, and we will not be able to field additional inquiries on this topic.
And I'm thinking, like, some Satanist called you, and you give them your ear, and you let them tell you about our church, but I can't even talk to your legal department for 5 seconds? Now, we ended up moving, not because of the protests or any of that. We were actually growing. Even though we had all these protests and our business is being shut down, our banks are shut down, our church was growing, expanding, and I'm like, I need a new building. So we ended up getting a new building, and we put a lot of money into it, put a lot of time and effort into this thing. I mean, spending over $100,000 to improve this space because we think we're going to be there for 5 years or even longer. And, of course, June rolls around, and we end up having protests again, you know, for me preaching. I was preaching through Genesis, and I just happened to, you know, fall on Genesis 19 in June. Might have been planned. We don't know. Okay. And it just caused, like, a big controversy, all kinds of protests. And, of course, they're being violent. They're getting in the parking lot, threatening people, and they break our windows. And so the landlord is, like, terrified. Everyone's scared, saying they're going to shoot our building and blow it up.
Cause of the protesters. The protesters are a symptom.
Okay.
And they're out there. And because they're there, there have been threats on the building, like burn it down, blow it up. That you have to admit affects everybody else. If somebody burned the building down, it would affect everybody else. But it was directly caused by language that you used, by sermons that you preach. You have death threats on you right now. You have, and that are fairly public, but where I got the information was from way deeper than that. The FBI is involved in this. It's a lot. So we have people in our building right now who are literally afraid. I've got two people, two different tenants, who don't sit in the front of their office anymore where their desks work. They move their desks to the back because they have some modicum of fear that somebody will drive through the parking lot and rake it with a gun trying to get to you, and they'll just get hit.
We had so many voicemails, they're coming in just like every minute. Just like every minute, new voicemail. Just every minute. Just new voicemail, new voicemail, new voicemail. And it's just the worst things you could ever imagine.
I hate you. I hope that you die. I hope that you rot in hell. You're a stupid bitch. I hope that your wife is raped. I hope that your wife gets a bullet to the head like she deserves. Just like you deserve. Just like your children deserve. Because if you're going to sit there and talk about LGBTQ, you deserve that. Jonathan Shelley, I hope that you rot in f***ing hell. You stupid f***.
Well, gays think Christians ought to get killed too, and we have access to AK-47s, and we know where your church is, mother.
You've got what's coming to you pretty fast. Up in Canada here, we're burning churches. You mother are next. You.
Hi, I was just letting them know the pastor should be fired, or even better, assassinated. You guys suck.
I hope your church burns down with the rest of you in it, you piece of shit.
Your pastor is racist and homophobic. I hope you all die.
Hi, I just wanted to say hail Satan and that I hope you all burn in a fiery death soon. Have a great day.
Not just Catholic churches that can burn. Not just Catholic churches that can burn. You're some hateful mother, and it's time you ought to learn. Not just Catholic churches that can burn.
How they're going to hurt every single person in my family, all the children, every person in our church. I mean, the worst things, you can't even describe it. It's just horrible. And that pressure ended up causing the landlord to sue us and to get us to be potentially evicted through a legal process. We go through all these legal processes, spending all this money, and of course, we ended up losing a trial of our peers, and then we like appealed, and then the next judge just ruled against us. And what's so funny is in this court hearing, when the judge rules against us, the only thing that they advocated against us was two, like 30 second clips of my preaching. That was it. It was like, he violated this. Here's 30 seconds of his preaching. And you know, it's great when trucks accidentally go through those, you know, parades. I think only one person died, so hopefully we can hope for more in the future. You say, well, that's mean. Yeah, but the Bible says that they're worthy of death. You say, are you sad when fags die? No, I think it's great. I hope they all die. I would love it if every fag would die right now. Oh, you're advocating violence. It was an accident. How do you advocate for accidents? But you know what? Yeah, I was. Okay, I'm advocating for accidents, but not violence. Yes, if they can accidentally kill each other, I'm thinking great. As long as there's no other damage to anybody else. But you know what? How is that not fair when all of America is rejoicing when Osama bin Laden's killed?
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg called the killing of bin Laden a critically important victory. And nowhere was that victory felt more than here at Ground Zero, where nearly 3,000 people were killed in the attacks.
Now that he's finally dead, it feels good.
Michael Carroll lost his father, a firefighter, on 9/11. He says bin Laden's death won't ease his pain, but it does bring some closure.
To feel excited about somebody's death is a weird feeling, but when it comes to him, it's all right.
Osama bin Laden's killed, who didn't even destroy the Twin Towers. It was George W. Bush and our government. But many people do believe it was him. And as a result of that and him dying, they're rejoicing and singing, and it's praised on the media. And it's like, why is it any different when these child molesting freaks are brought to justice by God's intervention? You know what? I rejoice and shout for joy. That's what I do. We get evicted. We have to go to hotels. They follow us around, write more articles, try to get us shut down. Then we moved to Watauga. We had more protests.
Okay, so right now we're outside of Steadfast Baptist Church. We have a huge protest with the LGBTQ community. A lot of signs. We're going to go check out what's going on over here and see why they're protesting. Let's go ask them some questions.
Get the away from
me. I thought you guys are loving.
I love who I...
But love is love, right?
Get the f*** away from me.
Swearing at me is love?
Pedophiles.
Pedophiles. Okay. Love wins. I agree. So why the hate?
This is my minor. You're not allowed to video her.
This is my minor.
This is my minor.
This is my minor.
Well, you know what? Why'd you bring it out here?
My minor is not allowed to be videotaped.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Okay, so you can't actually see her face anyway. She's wearing a... Why are you still wearing a mask? Why are they still wearing masks?
You're not allowed to video my minors.
Then why'd you bring him in front of the camera?
You're not allowed to video my minors.
Then why'd you bring him in front of the camera?
You're not allowed to video my minors.
Why are you abusing your kids?
You're not allowed to...
This is child abuse. Okay, let's go down here. So clearly, it's like they're like a magnet to me here. They're walking next to me. They're... Adultery is a sin, just like homosexuality. So if there were groups promoting adultery...
God doesn't exist.
Really? Then why are you so mad? If God doesn't... Well, no, if God doesn't exist, then why are you out here? Why'd you wake up extra early just to come here if it bothers you so much? If God doesn't exist, you shouldn't be bothered, right?
We had more protests, and then Dylan preached.
These people should be put to death.
I cannot believe you expose kids to that garbage.
Every single homosexual in our country should be charged with the crime, the abomination of homosexuality that they have.
You get back and get the out of my town.
They should be convicted in a lawful trial. They should be sentenced with death.
About you children, it's not okay.
They should be lined up against the wall and shot in the back of the head. That's what God teaches.
We're normal people. We just live our lives every day. It just so happens that I love her and she loves me and neither of us own a and they're so close to our home. There's no way that we can't be a little bit afraid of that.
And it fits within the Constitution of free speech. The reason why it fits there is because there is not a specific direct threat that is actionable from one person to another.
That's not freedom of speech. That's vile, threatening, slanderous, dangerous language. And I don't think it should be protected just because they call themselves a church.
In his specific wording, he's not calling for violence to homosexuals. However, the whole intent is incredibly hateful. This is a public statement. Things are happening public. We need to be public in our response. So we coordinated our signs and physically take food to them and say, all Christians don't feel this way. This isn't how we feel.
I know you know you're hurting your children by being here.
Really, most people are just trying to live their day-to-day life. And because these people are dangerous, I think they at least need to know they're there.
They're a cult. That's what they are.
That's exactly what it is.
And they're really dangerous. And they're going neighborhoods, so we just want everybody to be aware.
Well, God bless you for doing this.
Because there's a registered hate group that has moved into the city over off Denton Highway. They've been in a registered hate group with the Southern Poverty Law Center. But yeah, those were good interactions.
We're actually considering leaving the entire state. We want to be somewhere that we can be who we are unapologetically and feel safe and free.
You know, we're trying to build bridges into our community. We're trying to make a difference. And it feels like they are trying to burn them down. He's representing Christ in a way, in the Word of God, that just is inaccurate. And that really ticks me off.
We're protesting a violent hate group. But the danger of not protesting is just greater. They have to leave. They have to leave, and we have to do our part to help escort them out.
I leave in June, and Dylan preaches, and boy, did everything blow up. Wow. We get the police department writes social media posts about his sermon, and we're getting all these protests. I mean, the phone calls start again. I mean, every minute, just new voicemail.
Dylan Ogg, he don't know what the he's talking about. He's an idiot, and I hope him and his children all get lined up and shot in the back of the head. And I hope his kids have to watch it as it happens too.
You are going down for having those views. I'm gonna start shooting up that place. You.
I just think you guys should be the ones murdered by firing squad. That's kind of what I think. I think all Christians, actually the fundamentalist evangelicals such as yourself. You know, I hope you guys all get murdered.
Yeah, I'm looking for Dylan Oz of Steadfast Baptist Church. You vile mother piece. If I was seeing you on the street, I'm going to punch your eyes out, you mother piece. I hope you.
And you kind of wonder, like, where are all these voicemails coming from? Where are all these protesters coming from? But then I realized we're going, like, super viral online. And, like, in a way that is inconceivable to me. But there's that stupid app called TikTok. It's like some Chinese app. And apparently their algorithms are against new IFB preaching, okay? But I look it up, and Dylan Oz, you can just type into TikTok. You can say discover/ and then someone's name. It'll tell you all the videos associated with that person's name. Dylan Oz, my employee, if you just type it in, has 859 million views associated with his name. 859 million. Now, I was just like, I have no relevance to what that means, So I was like, I'll just put in other famous people. So I put in David Beckham. It was 621 million. So Dylan is more famous than David Beckham. Then I was thinking, like, what about other conservatives that get attacked? Like Steven Crowder. And this guy's pretty popular. He has a YouTube channel with, like, 5 million subscribers. A lot of his live streams have 1 million viewers and within 24 hours. And this guy's been attacked by a lot of people. He had 278 million. Dylan's, like, four times more popular. Tucker Carlson. Many people know who this is. Fox News, he fired him recently, but he was a big contributor, the most popular newscaster in America, the most watched and viewed. His Twitter videos get hundreds of millions of views. Him on TikTok, 189 million. Dylan's just crushing these people. So then I was like, what about me? So I put my name in this app. 2.2 billion views. It's like, now I understand why I'm getting so many phone calls. I mean, you look up people, I put in Tom Brady, 1 billion. Bill Gates, 1.1 billion. Brad Pitt, 900 million. It's like, what in the world? Why are two guys that work at a small, medium-sized, independent Baptist church in Texas so much more popular than these mega celebrities? And it's because the terrorists are trying to terrorize us. Not only this, during all these protests, one of the cops is actually one of these LGBT people too. And they have this online group dedicated to harassing our church. It's called No Hate in Texas. They're the most hateful group ever organized.
Steadfast Baptist Church was evicted from its church location in Hearst in 2022, forcing it to meet in hotels and various locations for a temporary period of time. Despite, theoretically, getting what they wanted, the sodomites did not stop bombarding the church with harassment. They organize and communicate through a Facebook group known today as No Hate in Texas. The name can be described as a meaningless platitude. This group is comprised of individuals who are absolutely consumed with hatred for anyone who does not stand with them. In fact, they hate practically everyone, including themselves. Members of the so-called No Hate group are dangerous, especially to children, and have threatened and stalked Pastor Jonathan Shelley and Brother Dylan Oz of Steadfast Baptist Church. One of them even followed Brother Oz home, and group members have routinely antagonized both men and tried desperately to intimidate them into silence. No Hate in Texas is also aimed at persecuting church members. They do so by standing outside Steadfast, screaming obscenities, challenging church members to fist fights, and making grotesque sexual comments, even in front of children. They often try to scare the children by yelling and screaming at entire families as they enter or exit the building. One could argue that they resemble a deranged mob or an unhinged pack of dogs who are so consumed with hatred for God and his people that they seemingly froth at the mouth in rage. Lynette Sharp and Gordon Jones are the ringleaders of this group, and they appear to be unstable individuals who have shown very hateful and aggressive behavior toward the members of Steadfast Baptist Church.
Off and die.
Oh, that sounds pretty hateful.
It
are
is.
You judging?
Are you?
I thought you guys didn't believe in hate.
I do believe
but
in
I
hate.
Should die.
I hate bigots.
Oh, okay.
And racists.
So then we both
and
hate something.
And misogynists. And kids like you.
Okay.
You literally admitted on camera that you hate Dylan Oz and Pastor Jonathan Shelley.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so why do you call your group No Hate in Hearst then, or No Hate in Texas?
Do you hate Pastor Shelley too?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Do you hate Steadfast Baptist Church?
Uh-huh.
Well, this cop that's a part of our local police department is in their protest group against our church. And then they show up and they're protesting our church and they're blocking our parking lot so people cannot drive in and out. And this older lady who came to our church to visit from out of town is just wanting to leave. And so our ushers are going over there trying to, like, get them out of the way just so she can leave. Because the cops refuse to do their job when they're a faggot in the protest group against us. I'm shocked. And so they're standing there blocking, and this one girl gets up there and she's just, like, running into our men on purpose. Well, she runs into one of our usher staff And he just kind of pushes her off of her. Well, then instantly the cops then cite him for assault. Gives a citation to one of our church members for assaulting the protest. It was a setup. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous, the spiritual battle they have to go through. And think about this. In 2003, it was illegal to be a faggot in Texas. It was a crime to be a fag in Texas in 2003. Now they're on the police force. What insanity. In Arlington, they have a cop that's called the LGBT liaison. They have their own cop just dedicated to making sure that they feel comfortable and safe. What in the world? I mean, what is our world coming to when you have sodomites in law enforcement? Then we have the local churches right around us. And this one pastor, he preached a whole sermon against me. And he's like, now, the whole message that they're preaching is coming from a passage in Scripture in Leviticus 20:13. And Leviticus 20:13 says that homosexuals should be put to death. And you know, me and all my seminary professors and friends and colleagues, we always would sit around in seminary and just wonder, what does that mean?
And I thought about all the scriptures they quoted from Leviticus and in the Old Testament where it does, in fact, say that homosexuals should be put to death. And my entire life, going through seminary, hearing seminary professors talk about why it says that and working us through how we ought to process that. I've got to tell you that those scriptures and those like it are some of the most challenging scriptures. I read them and it still makes me scratch my head and go, why? What is that about? There's a lot of things I just don't understand in the Word of God.
You know what? You know what it meant? It meant that they should be put to death, like you just said. I'm standing here at 6900 Denton Highway, where our church ended up having to move after being evicted. And it was a great space for us. It really suited our church well. It was already set up as a church. Now, we did have to put several thousand dollars into the property just to be able to move in. But unfortunately, our protests found us and continually followed us over here. And they were protesting all outside this corridor. And they ended up causing even a lot of property damage. And we got all kinds of people threatening us in this suite. And they ended up coming here and breaking this door multiple times. Also, they ended up spraying graffiti down here, breaking other windows on multiple occasions. And it was all in an attempt to harass us, to threaten us, to try and cause us to stop preaching the Bible. But it didn't cause us to stop. We continued preaching very faithfully. Also, while we were here, we got all kinds of voicemails. We got people threatening us online. In fact, the Watauga Police Department put a social media post out talking about Brother Dylan's sermon and talking about our church. We ended up having protesters even come all the way into our parking lot area. Protesters are constantly blocking
these ways to come in and out, screaming and yelling and harassing us, harassing other patrons of this shopping center, and really just trying to put a lot of pressure on the landlord and these businesses to expel us from this location as well. Unfortunately, due to their terrorism and all of their heat, they ended up causing the landlord to want to evict us again and cause us to have to leave early from our lease agreement. And so that's unfortunately what did happen to us. But not only that, then they started terrorizing Dylan at his house, following him to his house, honking. And all kinds of debris in front of his driveway to try and destroy his cars.
Hey, let me know if you need your hardware back. Let me know if you need your hardware back. Watch what you're doing, faggot. Don't come at my house. I will defend myself.
Following in the restaurants and shocking all around. My administrative assistant is being more harassed and attacked than virtually every other fundamental Baptist preacher in our area. For one sermon.
Because like Dylan Oz from Steadfast are out here telling me that I need a bullet in the back of my head. Go make a fascist so uncomfortable that they're afraid to leave their house. Go make a fascist bleed. Hell, if you need to curb stomp a fascist because it's you or them, make sure they're the ones that go down. You come up to me in person and you start saying some homophobic, I'm going to tell you to knock it off. And if you don't, you're going to get your teeth knocked out of your skull. Go kill a fascist. Yes, this is a call for violence. Learn to defend yourself. Make a fascist bleed. That's it.
Then there was all these videos by TYT. Virtually like every host did videos against me and Dylan.
That was conservative Christian preacher Dylan Oz.
That was far right Christian preacher Jonathan Shelley.
Christian preacher goes on a rant, all right?
So he just filled all their heads with ideas about murdering gay people in America.
But Cenk Uygur, one of their main, like the main guys, he did a whole video against Dylan.
Cenk, what are your thoughts?
So look, I think it's important for us to see it because people make the mistake of thinking, oh, it's just a couple of radicals. Oh, but that's so ridiculous. Nobody's going to believe that because you're projecting your logic and reason and kindness onto those parishioners.
And then he just starts screaming, the Bible's wrong. The Bible's wrong. Homosexuality is not a sin. The Bible's wrong. Ah!
The Bible says, at least in the Old Testament, that homosexuality is wrong. Well, the Bible is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. I know I'm supposed to like just, oh my God, I have to worry about your feelings. No, I'm worried about people taking an obviously wrong thing and then extrapolating from there. No, there's, you know that obnoxious, toxic saying, hate the sin, not the sinner. No, no, there is no sin. Being gay is not a sin. It just isn't. Stop spreading that cancer, that poison into the population.
He's just like on an unhinged rant, screaming about how bad the Bible is. The same guy that also advocated that bestiality should be legalized in America.
I believe that I am going, if I were the ruler, the benevolent dictator of the world, I would legalize bestiality. Okay, why? Why did that happen?
What a freak. These are the type of people that the left is promoting. This is what goes viral on YouTube, people promoting bestiality. Our new landlord, now, he knew what we believed. I told him about the protesters. I told him everything. He's seen the articles. He was still fine leasing us. But, you know, because of all this extra heat, he just decided no, and he sued us too to be evicted.
And we ended up being able to settle to where we could just stay a little bit longer. We didn't have to go through all the court proceedings and whatever. But again, him and even the leasing agent, they told us over and over again, it's not you. We like you. It's them.
You have to have a clue as to what's going on and why we are asking you guys to leave. And, you know, sadly to say, it's not necessarily because of you, what you're doing. It's because of your presence at the center and the protesters and the protesters are being very aggressive with the landlord and with the tenants and with their customers at the property. You have to know that they're there to make everyone uncomfortable. And we said that in the letter regarding the hostility of the protesters. And if you guys weren't there, the protesters wouldn't be there.
And it's so funny, they always think it's a moral victory. Like, we're so disgusting and horrible that you're getting evicted. It's like, why is that a win for you? It's not like they're like, oh, we got to expose everybody to what they believe. They already knew. We got to expose them. There's going to be protests. It was already on the lease. They already knew what they don't have a problem with me. They like me. They hate you. Because you're terrorists. No one likes terrorists. And that was my problem. I talked to all kinds of people. They're like, hey, I like you. I want to do business with you, but I hate being terrorized. And this, our society is not waking up and realizing, you know, it's not just me that they want to terrorize. They want to terrorize everyone. Yep. This is a true spiritual battle. And we're getting thrown out and we had nowhere to go. So we're just going to hotels. They got us shut down at hotel after hotel. I don't know how they were finding us, just going everywhere. So finally, we ended up getting a new property in Cedar Hill. But you know, they're still protesting us there. And you know when they'll stop protesting us? Never. Never.
A church here in North Texas, known for its extreme language toward the LGBTQ community, has now relocated to a new home in Dallas County. WFAA's Tiffany Liu is following this one for us today. Tiffany, what can you tell us?
Well, Jason, it's called Steadfast Baptist Church, and it seems like every time they move to a new location in the DFW area, there is heavy concern, and now they have bought a property in Cedar Hill. Steadfast was originally in Tarrant County, Hearst, then Watauga, and eventually they held services at hotels, and for years they had been surrounded by protests. And last year, Steadfast was forced out of two locations for violating lease terms on violence and threats. Now the protesters say people in Cedar Hill need to be aware of their presence. They actually bought the building, so they can't be evicted. Let's hand it back to you.
Certainly a story we're going to have to keep on watching.
Keep on watching.
Keep on watching.
Keep on watching.
LGBT terrorists are pedestalized by the establishment because they have the backing of a particular group powerful enough to shape the mainstream narrative as they see fit. A demographic that works behind the scenes to advance an anti-Christian agenda, using Hollywood, the media, and other propaganda arms to do it. A demographic that runs international banks. A demographic that despises the Lord Jesus Christ. They espouse a specific antichrist false religion. Jews. The Bible says in Revelation 2 verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Number one, these people are terrorists. Number two, is a spiritual battle. And number three, if you really want to know who's behind this, it's the Jews.
Right.
It's a Jewish connection. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. And they're trying to use this mafia and these terrorists to attack us. Acts chapter 17, look what it says in verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received.
And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. This happens to me everywhere I go. You go into Hearst, they trouble the city council and the police and whatever. Then you go to Otago and they trouble the city council and the police there.
I am here today to let the council know of the hate group that has entered their city. This hate group is called Steadfast Baptist Church. It was in June of 2021 that I first came across the offensive defamation against women and the LGBTQ community. The hate statements, videos, and social media posts prompted me to join the protest that started in Hearst and now has moved to your city. And I apologize for this, but this is quoting him. They are all dirty, disgusting, skank whores. In another video, he also states that women in positions of leadership and authority are actually a curse upon our nation. For the women that walk into the church, because what if they don't have a way out? What if those kids don't ever feel the love of two undying parents?
I do not wish for anyone to be killed or to be murdered. Anything that someone says about that is lying about me or slandering me. In the state of Texas, there is the death penalty for certain crimes. I believe that. That is not an incitement to violence. I do believe from the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, if you study history, that homosexuality was a capital punishment in this country. I still believe that should be true today. And that is what the Bible says in Leviticus 20:13. If I believe the Bible, that is not a threat to this community or to the council members or to any person in this room that is willing to follow the laws of the land and the law of God. We didn't even go to the city. They just heard that we went to Midlothian. Never been there. They just went to all the city council meetings and just terrorized everybody there. Just in the fact that we might be there.
Good evening. My name is Gordon Jones. My address is 305 Oak Trail Drive, Double Oak, Texas, of Denton County. I'm also a member of a group called No Hate in Texas, formerly No Hate in Hearst. And you'll understand why we changed our name in a minute. We protest against a church called Steadfast Baptist Church, but no, with them comes us. And I'm a member of the group, and we're over 1,000 strong. Obviously, not all 1,000 of us show up, but some of us are more colorful than me. And you may or not be comfortable with a group of people yelling in your town, drawing attention. Some of us have been arrested for protesting and spent the night in jail. We're not afraid to make some noise.
Then they went to Cedar Hill. Now they're harassing. They just go everywhere.
Steadfast Baptist Church is a listed hate group that the SPLC and the ACLU.
But they're a registered hate group with the SPLC.
They've been a registered hate group with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
They are a listed hate group, SPLCA, ACLU.
Steadfast is a registered hate group with the Southern Law Poverty Center.
Just as the Jews in Acts chapter 17 utilized lewd fellows of the baser sort to cause an uproar in the city, they use the same tactic today through propaganda arms such as the ADL and SPLC. The SPLC in particular highlights several fundamental Baptist churches on its so-called hate map. In addition, the ADL has a dedicated section aimed at demonizing the new IFB, a term for Baptist churches that are similar to Steadfast Baptist Church. This fuels lewd fellows of the baser sort, like the perverted group No Hate in Texas, to attack God's people on their behalf. Steadfast Baptist Church being designated as a hate group allows the LGBT terrorists to justify their attacks. And they may not realize it, but the Jews are deceptively using the LGBT as their sacrificial pawns on the front lines of the spiritual battle.
The ADL, the SPLC, they have all kinds of articles about the new IFB, Faithward Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church, sermons I preached, Brother Dylan's preached, Pastor Anderson's preached, Pastor Menez has preached, all of our friends just constantly going after us.
You have to know who's behind it all. For example, do you remember how we talked about earlier about the California passing the Fair Accurate Inclusive Act of 2011, which requires all public schools in the state to teach about the contributions of the LGBTQ people to history and culture? That's kind of how it happened. It was something that passed. But more importantly, policies that make LGBTQ-related material mandatory in schools are typically approved by state legislatures. In some cases, these policies are the result of grassroots activism, while in other cases, they are initiated by government officials. Once it's a policy, It is then implemented by school district. And who was the most responsible for the California Fair Education Act? You ready? These organizations. Equality California, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Human Rights Campaign, HRC, National Center for Lesbian Rights, Transgender Law Center. And what do these organizations have in common? You ready? They have the same three donors. And do you want to know who's behind these three donors? I wonder who. Do you want to take a wild guess? You probably will get it right. Let me give it to you. First one is Gilead Sciences. In 2001, they became the first company to develop a once-daily pill for the treatment of HIV and AIDS. That's one of the biggest funders. And by the way, do you know who's been a shareholder of theirs since 1999? Soros Fund Management. And in 2015, Soros Fund Management was one of the investors in a group that acquired a majority stake in Themis Medicare, a company that provides specialty pharmacy services to patients with HIV and AIDS. And Gilead Sciences is a major customer of Themis Medicare. The second foundation is called the Arcus Foundation, and George Soros is a trustee of the Arcus Foundation and has donated millions of dollars to this foundation. And the third one, ready? The Gill Foundation, which, who do you think is a trustee? George Soros is a trustee and has donated millions of dollars to the foundation's work.
There was a video I saw of a Jew getting up and saying, us Jews, we love supporting the LGBT movement. They're open about it. They're promoting this filth.
I am Jewish and proud because Jews have always done what's right. We've led the fight for gay rights. Harvey Milk fought to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. Eddie Windsor was a leader in the fight for marriage equality. Miriam Ben-Shalom challenged the ban on gay people serving in the military. We've helped lead the fight for racial justice. Our rabbis are BFFs with MLK. Together with Black leaders, Jews helped to establish over 20 HBCUs. During the civil rights movement, Jews were disproportionately involved in the protests. We've led the fight for women's rights, for equal pay and the right to choose, and against discrimination in the workplace. Jews were also among the first on the ground in Turkey, Ukraine, and Haiti. In Judaism, when it comes to helping others, no action is too big or too small. The Jewish principle of Tikkun Olam tells us that we have the power to change the world, and there are so many ways to do that. And this is why I am Jewish and proud.
They're promoting transgenderism? Hollywood, media, and the banks are all promoting this?
Like, I was just... wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, the, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
If you look at Pride Month, you know who has the most flags? Usually the banks do. And there's this one protester named Gordon Jones who's consistently protested us. We started doing research on this guy. This guy protests virtually every day of the week somewhere. This guy is going everywhere. I noticed him because he was protesting at my house with big signs walking up and down the street. And it's like, I asked the cops, and they're like, well, he's not lording because he's still kind of like walking around. Yeah, in front of my house. That's it. And not only that, I started looking up. He goes to Ted Cruz's house and protests him. I'm like, this guy is a loser. Why are you protesting him? Ted Cruz doesn't live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live. He lives down in like Houston or something like that. This guy's going to Austin protesting. He's like protesting Austin on Tuesday, my church on Wednesday, going to Tennessee the next day, going to Colorado the next day. He's on Reddit, standing at some other place, always with brand new big signs. It's like no one is just doing that. No one is just going and traveling the entire country and just at every pro-abortion rally, every trans legislation rally, every single, and then just our church. It's like, every legislative battle, and then just, he's just consistent, just Steadfast Baptist Church. This guy's obviously getting paid, folks.
Yeah. I know where all y'all live. I want to shoot you in the back of the head, Mark. We know where y'all live, and we need to back you up and shoot you in the back of the head.
I don't know if you heard that right now.
Come down, boy. Come down, baby, baby.
Gordon Jones of No Hate in Texas didn't limit himself to shouting incoherent left-wing talking points at members of Steadfast. On one occasion, he actually threatened the life of Dylan Oz. He screamed it at the top of his lungs. Jones was then arrested for making a terrorist threat. To this day, zero members of Steadfast have been arrested for anything related to the protests. But one of the leaders of No Hate in Texas was indeed arrested for literally threatening murder.
Hey, Gordon, aren't you violating your
Restraining order?
Won't you come over here and kiss me, baby?
Aren't you in violation of your probation?
It's no different than what Acts said, where they get certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and they rile them all up and they get them to go and terrorize and do their bidding for them.
The Jewish-controlled media would have you believe that the protesters of Steadfast are simply genuinely concerned about Pastor Shelley's preaching, but this isn't true. They protest other events in the area, as evidenced by them appearing in this Steven Crowder clip. Here we see No Hate in Texas members showing support for children going to a repulsive drag event.
You're not going to have a bunch of people coming up and protesting and going like, No, they go to their little cult temple somewhere and do that and get lewd fellows to come and do their bidding for them. They hire little minions. And these people are disgusting. Jews are behind the pedophilia in this country. And New York City, they have been trying to reduce the amount of STDs given to babies because of Jews. Jews are giving STDs to babies, folks. And I watched this disgusting video where Representative Anthony Weiner, where he was trying to advocate why they should vote for him, and they're all talking about whether or not they should have parental consent if an Orthodox Jew can drink the blood of a baby boy after performing circumcision.
Now, the law in New York City is that a parent must sign a consent form to allow the act of mitzitza bepeh, which is part of the bris milah ritual in some segments of the Jewish community. Do you agree with this regulation? And in general, do you believe it's appropriate for the Board of Health or any other city agency to regulate religious practices?
On the issue of mitzitza bepeh, this is something that's been going on for thousands of years. Thousands of years.
I first spoke about mitzitza bepeh when I ran in 2005. There's a clip outside, Naftali has them, where I was trying to get anyone possible to talk about in the context of that campaign. Because as you know, this didn't start last week. This has been going on for years now that this battle has been going on.
And the Jews were so mad that they just had to get a parental form signed. They're saying, this is stepping on a religious freedom. You shouldn't have the freedom to exist. Amen. Let alone, and literally, there's articles out there. Baby dies of herpes and ritual circumcision by Orthodox Jews. ABC News. Isn't it interesting? Also, Anthony Weiner, who was a U.S. House representative, is now a registered sex offender. Not only that, he was married to a woman named Huma Abedin, who happened to be the personal assistant of Hillary Clinton. And there's a lot of rumors about them. But I mean, what kind of disgusting filth is going on in our world? And all of our friends, Shield of Faith, Pastor Joe Jones, same group, same protesters attacking him, trying to cause him to lose business. And frankly speaking, between Pastor Jones and Pastor Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church, I order them pizza like 3 or 4 times a week. But it's not me. Someone's ordering pizza for them every single, like, service in my name. I'm the nicest friend there is. I mean, if you become my friend, I might order you pizza like every week, okay? I mean, just every week, just ordering pizza for these people, just every single week. Now, it usually gets canceled. What's so sad is pretty much Pastor Thompson and them, they always get it for free, too. They're always just giving it to them free. So they're really harassing only the pizza places. And the pizza places are too stupid to just, like, stop giving us free pizza. These people think that we're getting persecuted by free pizza. But, you know, the Kentucky State Capitol, Tennessee, they're constantly going in there, harassing these people. But, you know, Revelation tells us that this group is the synagogue of Satan. The Jews are the synagogue of Satan. Now, we're talking about a religious Jew, not an ethnic Jew. Because some of the greatest people to ever live were ethnic Jews. You have the disciples. You have the Apostle Paul. I mean, you have lots of great people that were ethnic Jews that did great works for God. But you know what? The religion of Judaism is of the devil. Amen. And they're also the worst people. Caiaphas and Judas, the worst people to ever live. And the Jews that followed and harassed Paul around his entire life, those people were the worst people to ever live. Paul, one of the greatest people to ever live. Both Jew. But you know what? When we talk about Jews in the Bible, we're talking about a religious group, and this religious group wants to drink blood. This religious group wants to hurt children. And they have all kinds of sick practices. I don't want to go into it. It's so disgusting. But the Bible tells us that these people are contrary to everyone. Look what it says in verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Doesn't that just describe Faithward Baptist Church being persecuted and censored? I mean, just they want to forbid you to speak to the Gentiles, getting people saved, preaching the gospel, persecuting you. They please not God. They're contrary to everyone. No one likes these people. Amen. That's why they have to pass all these laws about being anti-Semitic. Is because it's so natural. It's so easy to hate the guy that's charging you interest and molesting children and wearing these pigtails or whatever they've got.
Do you see Jews and non-Jews as the same?
No.
Okay, explain.
I see Jews as the chosen nation.
Okay.
They were chosen by Hashem.
Do they deserve the same rights? Let's put it that way.
Jews,
non-Jews, anyone who lives here, let's say. Does everyone deserve the same? Treated the same? Let's put it that way.
I think not.
The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means dangerous. As the end times inch closer and closer, evil men will only get worse. The Bible warns that danger is coming, and it should come as no surprise that LGBT terrorists are able to utilize violence and bullying to get what they want with impunity. They act as tools of Satan, being used to further destroy Western civilization and set the stage for the devil's rise to political prominence through the Antichrist. Although it may seem like all hope is lost, there remains an opportunity to fight back. There is something that can be done about LGBT terrorists.
You say, why preach a sermon? There's nothing you can do about it. No. There is something we can do about it. You know what we can do? Not negotiate with terrorists. And you know, we've seen some of our culture start to do this, and I'm thankful for it. You know, the NHL had one of their players just simply say, like, "I'm not wearing that disgusting, you know, pride symbol. Shove it." And it ended up, he didn't apologize, and he's still playing. And you know what? They've eliminated a lot of the pride stuff in the NHL now.
A brief, colorful show of support, no more. Those pride warm-up jerseys given the cold shoulder by some NHL players now officially off the ice.
There was an MLB player, same thing. And in fact, he was part of the Texas Rangers, and the Texas Rangers are one of the only teams in the MLB that didn't have Pride Nights for the month of June this year. And you know what? Praise God that there's some resistance finally, and some people are waking up and saying, stop negotiating with these terrorists. Because when people apologize, they get fired and lose anyways. You might as well have gone out with a bang. There was some famous MLB broadcaster that accidentally criticized the city for being a bunch of fags.
When dealing with sodomites, apologizing accomplishes nothing. Case in point, Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer Tom Brenneman accidentally used the word fag on live television when he was caught on a hot mic during what was supposed to be a commercial break.
The fag capitals of the world.
He apologized on the air. He apologized off the air. He bent over backwards to placate the pack of reprobates who were furious at him for his remark.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith.
as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I'm going to apologize.
No matter how many times he apologized, it made no difference. Brenneman was fired. The Reds organization quickly issued the following statement to appease the fags, likely to dissuade them from doing anything violent. The Cincinnati Reds organization is devastated by the horrific homophobic remark made this evening by broadcaster Tom Brenneman. He was pulled off the air and effective immediately was suspended from doing Reds broadcasts.
He should have been like, well, it is a bunch of faggots, you know? Number two, we can change the culture. Notice what's happened. Bud Light and Target have been boycotted pretty relentlessly. And it's changed a lot of the culture. And Target has pissed a lot of people off that aren't even fundamental Baptists.
Notice Target, like, literally put out shirts with an artist that says,
atheist and believing in the devil. Yeah.
We are Satanist, and we are going to recruit your kids and an adult.
A shirt with that? A shirt. The designer, it was all devil, worship Satan.
LGBT.
Satan loves trans. Satan loves trans.
S for Satan.
Mm-hmm. Now they threw an S in there. Look, Pat, see that one? Rob, where it says Target right there? Go right there. Top left. Target. And that was the pin that they were selling. Target respects, Satan respects pronouns. They were selling.
There's
that
no way they were selling.
I 100% they were selling.
We sent crew in and got video of it.
Pat, they were selling.
They were selling this in Austin.
Target ignites firestorm with launch of new clothing line designed by Satanists.
100%.
Target just missed the bullseye by a mile, and then some. Can you zoom in a little bit? The retail giant has been selected by a few brands in the United Kingdom that promote Satan. You read it right. Target's partner is App Praline. It has produced a prayer collection for Target's celebration of LGBT Pride Month and promotes satanic images themes.
Of course Satan loves pronouns because every time they find devils in the Bible, it's they and them. It's legion. We. You know, people think that they're in a minority. Look, everyone feels this way. Everyone's afraid to speak up. But you know what? We need to change the culture that it's okay to say something. Because everybody already feels that way. They just are afraid to say it. You know, I looked at a video from Serbia. They're not afraid to say it. I watched this video. There's like hundreds and hundreds of Serbians all in this like rally. And they're just screaming, kill, kill, kill faggots.
Oni su smanjili naše plate i penzije da bi plaćali gay paradu. I preko naših leđa da povodu zastavu u srce Srbije.
Like, wow. You know what? But I guarantee that's going on in every heart of every straight guy in this city. Every straight guy in this city is just thinking in his heart. He just wishes he could say it. And we need to change the culture where people can actually say what the Bible says. It used to be such a byword. And you know, when the whole culture changes and everybody's screaming the same narrative, it's going to affect the politics. Just like, think about it. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Abortion's gone down. Supreme Court recently said, hey, you can't force them to make your cake and your website and whatever. I mean, you want to affect the politics? Why did Herod and a lot of the leaders, Pilate, do some of the things they did? They were afraid of the people. We need to get these people afraid of the people again. They need to be afraid because they're a bunch of pedophiles and they've been bought and sold and they're a bunch of cowards. But you know, the reason why they're so emboldened is because nobody will say anything. People need to start speaking up again.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
If all sin is equal, then how could they be sinners before the Lord exceedingly? Why would you add the word exceedingly?
You know what that means? It means this detestable act of sodomy is one of the worst sins in the Bible.
How is it that you can't go to the store, you can't walk down the street, you can't go to the park without seeing these people? It's because they're actively recruiting. They are molesting, they are raping, they are predators, and they are taking advantage of people. That's how they recruit them into their movement.
It is a spiritual war
and you need to get in or get out. And if anybody catches me, you know, toning this down or backing off on this doctrine, I give you my permission to slap me silly.
I'm not issuing an apology. I'm not interested. I'm not going to say sorry. I'm not trying to kumbaya with the workers of iniquity. I'm not trying to kumbaya with a bunch of freaks and fags and transvestites and say we could all come to an agreement. There is no agreement with the temple of God and idols. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, the Bible says. Anybody who's for the sodomites is against children. You know what? You're supporting pedophilia. You are part of the baby groomer generation.
Mark, every single person that is against someone being against human trafficking or that saying, oh, it's not that bad. Listen, I don't care if the movie was like 200% overblown of what was going on or what's really going on in the world. It doesn't matter to me. If you're against a film that's exposing that, then you're wicked.
That club got shut up the other day. Now, am I sad that five homos got shot? No, I'm not sad at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing that they're not here anymore to molest kids.
This should bother you. And I'm bothered when pastors are not bothered by this. I'm bothered by pastors who are bothered by me for preaching out against it.
Why preach against sodomites? Because I fear God. Come on, take me on. You bunch of filthy sodomites. Take me on. Come on, go line up, all your protesters. The victory is ours. It's not theirs. They've already lost. We've already won. It's already been written. We've already read the last chapter. And we know that we are on the winning side.
The two sides today. Literal child molesters versus God's people. And then you know what? You got everybody in the middle. And that's who we're at.
And you know what? The pastors who are ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words in this evil and adulterous generation, Jesus will be ashamed of them when he returns. Every church that gets up and says, oh, I can't believe you guys will preach that verse. You know what? Christ is ashamed of you. And you ought to fear God today. And it would be God. If every Christian church would just stand up and read Leviticus 20:13 and said, that's what Christ said. You know what? We wouldn't be protested. Why do you preach against the faggots? Why preach against the sodomites? Because I love my neighbor. Why make a documentary about it? Well, this is what I thought. If it saves one child from getting molested in the future, it was worth it. And you know what? The wicked demonstrate to me every single day that they don't fear God. You want to know a manifestation of this? How about the fact that the faggot symbol is a rainbow? They're not gay. They're some of the most miserable people in the world. They have some of the highest suicide rates because they're so miserable, because they know how disgusting they are, because they're being punished right now. Because being a sodomite is a punishment from God. To be given over to those vile affections is the worst punishment that God gives reprobates.
If a man also lied with mankind as he lied with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, is it hard to understand that that's what the Bible says, folks? So if you take what the world calls a heterosexual individual, say, well, he's attracted to women, but he likes little girls. He's crooked. He's a faggot. He's a dog. He's a queer. He's a sodomite. It's strange. The word queer means what? Strange.
You know when fags should come back into society? Never!
I think that anybody who takes their children to a fag queen story time, right, ought to have their head chopped off.
How about that? Now, why don't you put that on Twitter, Hamlet Beta?
I'm a pig! You think it's okay to ask for the murder of people? That's not very religious, is it? Is it? Huh? Is it?
I just want all homosexuals to die.
Oh, yeah. And we want you to die right back, baby.
Wherever you have two or three Jews gathered together, there is a faggot in the midst. What do you think? Yeah. And all faggots are pedophiles.
The most important question you could ever be asked is, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? The Bible gives a clear answer that you can know 100% sure. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also teaches that there's a punishment for our sin. And Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That death is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. And it means that when people die, they could go to one of two places, heaven or hell. The Bible tells us that we actually all deserve to go to hell. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Everyone can admit that they've told at least one lie. And in fact, we've sinned in many different ways if we looked at all of the scripture. Therefore, it's important to realize we need a savior. And the Bible tells us that God loves us and wants us to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God sacrificially sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to take the penalty and punishment that we deserve. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, and became a man. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And while he lived on this earth, he did many miracles proving he was the Son of God. However, the Jews did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they ultimately delivered him to the Romans to be crucified. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was crucified, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sins. He paid for all sin, past, present, and future. When Jesus Christ was dead, they put his body in a tomb, but his soul descended down into hell. But it was not left in hell, neither did his body see corruption. The Bible tells us that his soul returned to his body and he rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb, and the Bible describes this as the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the question is, what must I do to be saved? Well, in Acts chapter 16, there's a man that asked that question. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Bible makes it clear the only thing necessary for salvation is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is ultimately that you're putting all of your trust that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection paid for all of your sins. Many people today are unfortunately trusting in their good works. They're trusting the fact that they go to church, that they've turned over a new leaf, that they live a good life. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear that you must take the trust that you have in yourself and your religion and your church attendance and the changed life that you have and put all of your faith in what Jesus Christ already did for you. That is what true salvation is. Simply acknowledging Jesus is real, or believing in faith plus your good works, will not result in salvation. You must change your mind and put 100% faith in Christ. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The moment one trusts Christ, they become a child of God and they're given eternal life. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name." Salvation is a moment in time just like birth. And once you become someone's child, you're forever their child. Once you become God's son, you're forever his son. The moment someone trusts Christ and puts 100% of their faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, they are forever his son. And no matter how good or bad a son they are, they will never go to hell, because they've been saved from all of their sins. Whereas many people still believe in the fact that they must be a good person, go to church, and follow all of God's commandments to be saved, they're ultimately not trusting in Christ's sacrifice. They're trusting in themselves. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we're trusting in ourselves, we're not saved. We must one time humbly accept Christ's free gift and put all of our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the moment of salvation. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you see clearly how the Bible tells us that salvation is a free gift, that it's just by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us how to believe in Him. In Romans 10:9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you actually have changed your mind today and you want to put 100% faith in Jesus Christ, not in your good works, not in your good efforts, let me help you word a simple prayer and tell Christ that you're trusting in Him alone and accept this free gift. Pray this prayer wherever you're at. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, but I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for all my sins, who is buried and rose again. Please save me and give me eternal life. I'm only trusting in Jesus Christ, not myself. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you meant that prayer in your heart and you put 100% of your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you can know that you're saved. If you got saved today, or even if you've already been saved, you need to get plugged into a Bible-believing church which uses the King James Bible, the preserved Bible, and you need to read it every single day.